Nigel Simpson led a rewarding career as a teacher in independent schools, including at Town Close School in Norwich. He played golf from the age of 10 and in 2010 was asked to write the history of Eton Golf Club for its centenary. Chris Gillam found out more.
Hello, this is Chris Gillam here, and I'm interviewing Nigel Simpson, who has had a very interesting career as a teacher. He was a good golfer and he now suffers from diabetes. He's also an extremely keen dog walker. And we're going to talk about various aspects of Nigel's life. First of all, I think you trained at Nottingham University, didn't you, as a teacher?
Indeed, yes.
And you read French at Nottingham?
Yeah.
And then stayed on to do the
PGCE.
PGCE, that's right, the teaching qualification. And you taught at St John's Northwood for 5 years. Well, why did you end up there?
Obviously, in my final term, I was applying for teaching positions. I'd always been determined that I was going to teach in independent schools. Couldn't face it at the cold face.
When you talk about the cold face, you mean the state system?
I do.
Yes.
Yes, I wasn't a proper teacher. I just taught the sons and daughters of the rich and famous. No, not really. But, yeah, I wanted to teach French and I wanted to teach that age group, and it wasn't really a subject that was taught in primary schools. So independent schools seemed to be the right answer. And I applied for about 3 jobs, I think, in my final term, and went for interviews to 3 different schools, Lichfield, and, well, one in Amersham and one in Pinner. And I selected the one from Pinner. I got offered all the positions and was very fortunate.
And you coached rugby there?
I coached the under-11s, what are called the Colts, for 4 years, having spent the first year under the guidance of the then under-11s rugby master. Had 3 unbeaten seasons, which isn't a bad record in that area, because there's a whole host of prep schools all gunning for your blood.
And then after that, you came to teaching back in Norwich at Town Close?
Yes, I came back to Norwich, worked at Town Close, lived in the school. In fact, I always lived in schools.
And you were head of French there?
I was head of French at Town Close, yes. I had a bizarre interview because I, at interview, had a massive nosebleed, which was most embarrassing, dabbing my nose, and eventually I had to curtail the interview and apologise to the headmaster and go across the road to the Newmarket Road Surgery to have my nose plugged.
You've always taught in the private system because, of course, you yourself were educated at CNS.
Indeed. It at the time was one of the top 5 schools in the country, state schools. It had a remarkable record of university entrance and particularly Oxbridge entrance. Not that I ever aspired to such heights, but it was a wonderful school. It was run along public school lines with a very strong house system, played a good standard of rugby, etc. It was a splendid, splendid school, and I loved my time there. Ended up as deputy head boy.
Oh, fantastic. But moving back to your teaching career, you actually, after 4 years at Hawkhurst at St Ronan's, you came to Beeston Hall in North Norfolk.
I'd always intended coming back to Norfolk, and it's my home, and my family are all here. And I was very fortunate to get the job at Beeston Hall, head of French, and again, lived in an old fisherman's cottage in the grounds of the school, and had a very splendid, I think, 15 years there, ending up as senior master.
And then you retired, and soon after your retirement, you discovered that you were diabetic.
Yeah. Pretty much like most 50-year-old men, you only went to see the doctor if you were ill, and I was not prepared to admit that. But I was displaying all the symptoms of diabetes and eventually fell foul of the dreaded disease and had probably had it for many years because I was eventually diagnosed as type 1 diabetic.
So that happened soon after your retirement from Beeston. And you were rushed into hospital, I think, after collapsing in your flat.
Yeah, I was blues and twos to hospital, went into a diabetic coma, eventually came round, I think, 4 days later to be told that they'd locked one of my toes off, which had become gangrenous, and then told that they had to lop another one off. And I stayed in hospital, I think, for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that, because I came and visited
Indeed, you on several occasions.
Then you ended up having to have an operation on your left foot, which basically ended your golfing career.
I had what was called a transmetatarsal amputation, which effectively just left me with a stump. and consequently I have no balance. I can walk unaided, pretty much.
Yeah, so, and of course, you were a very keen golfer. You've been a member of Eton Golf Club since you were five.
No, since I was 10.
Since you were 10, sorry.
Yeah. And we lived fairly close to Eton Golf Club in Judges Walk, and I used to spend all my childhood summers there and school holidays with the pro, getting free lessons, learning how to whip clubs and put on leather grips, etc. Yeah, and eventually I worked myself down to, very briefly, I think it was about 2 weeks, a 5 handicap. Yeah, I was quite good.
You were. I remember you as a very fine golfer. So your diabetes really ended your golfing career.
My eyesight started to deteriorate. Many of you listeners will be familiar with that. And I couldn't follow a ball. Because of my amputation, I had no stability, no balance. So I didn't want to play golf like an old codger. I wanted to try and remember being quite good. So.
Yeah, I sympathise with that. And so, because another aspect of your life is you've always been a great canine lover, and you now exercise yourself by walking your dogs.
Yeah, I've always had dogs in my life. As a child, we always had two terriers. But anyway, yeah, I've always had dogs. I've now got two spaniels that keep me entertained. Typical spaniels, mad as hatters.
And that's your form of exercise.
Pretty much so.
And you still visit the golf club on a regular basis for social purposes?
Yeah, I go up and have a cup of tea or coffee and ingratiate myself upon various individuals to get a bit of company. No, it's good fun. People are very kind and still remember me. I also had the good fortune to be asked by the then club manager to write the history of the club for its centenary, which engaged me for 3 years.
That's right. So that turned out to be a very interesting publication, and with all sorts of facts and figures in there that most of us had no idea of.
Me neither.
You did a lot of research for that.
Absolutely. I followed on from somebody who'd done the 75th anniversary, most of which I recobbled and claimed my own, but going to the records office to look at my old copies of the EDP to find articles about the foundation of the club, etc. That was very, very interesting indeed.
Good, excellent. Well, it's been very interesting to have a chat with you, and it's good to see you looking so hale and hearty now. Nigel, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Chris.
Chris was speaking to Nigel Simpson, and Nigel's paperback book, Eton Golf Club, 1910 to 2010, is still available.